a feeling we may find something else of Charles the First. Let's go back to your study, shall we? I'm of a mind to have a look at the contents of that bag again.
A piece of twisted blackened metal and a handful of dull, lustreless stones. Hardly worth losing your life over, I would have thought.
I'm not so sure. In fact, if I give one of these stones a rub on my sleeve, a bit more. There now. A bit of life back into it, wouldn't you say?
Oh, well, yes.
What does all this mean?
What you must bear in mind, Musgrave, is that the royal cause made head in England even after the death of the king, and that when at last they fled, they probably left many of their most precious possessions buried behind them, with the intention of returning for them in more peaceful times.
Quite so. In fact, one of my ancestors was a prominent cavalier, Sir Ralph Musgrave, right-hand man of Charles II in his wanderings.
Oh, indeed. Well, now, I think that really should give us the last link that we wanted. I must congratulate you on coming into the possession, though in rather a tragic manner, of a relic which is of great intrinsic value but of even greater importance as a historical curiosity.
Well, what is it then?
Nothing less than the ancient crown of the kings of England.
The crown?
Consider what the ritual says. Now, how's it run? Whose was it? His who is gone. Now, that was after the execution of Charles. Then, who shall have it? He who will come. That was Charles II, whose advent was already foreseen. There can, I think, be no doubt that this battered and shapeless diadem once encircled the brows of the royal Stuarts.
Oh, I can hardly believe it. It's incredible. I mean, how could it have remained hidden for so long?
Well, the most likely explanation would seem to be that when your ancestor, the one who was responsible for secreting the crown in the first place, when he died, by some oversight, he left the ritual without explaining the meaning of it. From that day, it's been handed down from father to son until, at last, it came within reach of a man who tore the secret from it and lost his life in the venture.
So, there you have it, Watson. The Musgrave Ritual.
Ah, a remarkable story.
Yeah, I understand that they still have the crown down at Helston, though I believe there was some legal bother and a considerable sum to pay before they were allowed to retain it. Should you happen to be in that part of the world, I'm sure that if you mention my name, they'd be happy to show it to you.
Really?
Hmm.
Yes, I might well. Good Lord.
Hmm?
Is that the time?
Oh, dear fellow, I really didn't mean to go on for so long.
No. It's not bad. It's just, well, it hardly leaves you any time to finish tidying up your papers. Of course, when I say finish, I now realize that you never even started.
No.
Now, that really is what I call boxing clever.
In The Musgrave Ritual, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Robert Dawes as Reginald Musgrave. Brunton, the butler, was played by David Bannerman, Rachel Howells by Elinid Jones, and Sergeant Harris by Michael Kilgariff. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Musgrave Ritual was dramatized for radio by Peter Mackey and directed by Enid Williams.